You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We greet and welcome all you listeners. We're so honored to be here on WCNO. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. As most of you know, and listen all the time, we're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. But I believe now somebody's listening right now for the very first time. So we greet you, we welcome you in the name of Yeshua, that you'll get something out of this.
Amen.
We talk about God's prophetic calendar and also the things He wants us to know, the pictures of the Messiah through God's appointed times. And so we're talking about Pentecost. We talked about last week or the week before, and we're getting real close to Pentecost. We're counting the Omer now, and we're coming up very close. What day did you say it was on our calendar? Would be the 50th day?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, Pastor Gene. We'll talk about that as we get along.
Okay.
Because a lot of people are going to say, well, gee, Pentecost has already happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because the church doesn't really know the calendar of God.
The wrong calendar.
And so they did celebrate Pentecost on the 15th of this month.
Right.
So we're going to get to that when we get into that talking. But because, and those who have been listening to us for a while, They will remember that we said when we were in the month of Adar, we had 2 months of Adar this year because of the leap year.
That's right.
And so that put Passover later.
A month later.
And that put the counting of the Omer starting later.
So, and Pentecost later.
And so that means Pentecost is later. So everything is a month later. Because, you know, there's 13 months in this year because of the leap year. And also because of the way the Jewish people now do their calendar. It's not exactly the way God's calendar was in the very beginning. Because in God's calendar in the very beginning, there were 12 months, always 12 months, and there were 360
days
in a year, and each month was 30 days. So it's not like that now. Even on a Jewish calendar, you might order or you might look at it on the internet. But the month, actually, because this year there were 13 months, and you can explain that later on if we go on, if you feel the need to. So that pushes everything
forward
30 days.
That's right.
Because we know that Passover is always 30 days after Purim. Purim.
Okay, after Purim, right, you got
Not Pentecost, but I mean Passover is always
30 days
after
Purim.
Mm-hmm. And so, and then Pentecost is always
50 days
or 49 would be 7 weeks, 7 Sabbaths, and 1 day, which comes to 50. And so we actually have not come to that number yet.
That's right.
And that amount of weeks yet. Mm-hmm. So you know, we're trying to stay as close as we possibly can to when the counting of the Omer started, because that's really what we need to look at, the counting of the Omer, when that started. And so we actually haven't come to Pentecost as of yet. So we got a couple of weeks to go.
We're still counting.
So I want to give our telephone number in case anybody would like to call and talk to you, or or want to find out more information about the church. Maybe they want to have a brochure. Maybe they'd like to have a flyer. Maybe they'd like to have a flyer about your book,
okay,
about the Feast of the Lord, because we're going to be teaching, some of the things we'll be teaching today comes from, it's in your book.
Amen.
Because each one of the feasts are in the book that Pastor Gene, that we did together, and along with
charts.
Other things. There's charts in there, and there's also about the Sabbath, and there's also about, you know, the calendar, God's calendar, knowing God's calendar. And also there's information in there about the last days.
Everything revolves around his appointed time. So
and about Daniel and the book of Revelation, you know, mm-hmm, because God has, as the Lord has given it to you, we add to it. And people are buying it, and they're teaching from it. It's in a ring binder. Well, it's not called a ring binder. What's that called? A spiral binder?
Yeah.
And so whenever we print them, if God has us to add another chapter or put something else in it, we do that. So it's not, you know, it's not a bound book where, you know, we're stuck if we can't add something to it and have to write a whole new book. So we order them as we need them. You know, we order 20, 30, we get order 100 at one time, whatever. And we have them printed, and they're very well done. And so it's really a teaching guide. And it's a great thing to know, because we need to know about the Feast of the Lord.
That's right.
And so you don't have to read the whole thing as a book. You can just go to the feast that we're in now. Like if somebody were to buy it today, I would
read the chapter on it.
Read the chapter on Pentecost.
That's it.
And you know, and then you know, as we go along, because it's a lot to absorb. There's a lot of in-depth teaching in there, and I'll tell you, it's full of scriptures. And I mean, everything is backed up by scriptures, and that's what we have to do. We have to back everything up by scriptures, and not just one, two, or three scriptures. It's all backed up. And
two or three witnesses.
That's right. So that you can give us a call, and we can let you know about that. But I want to mention that we have meetings here in Stuart. Our church is here in Stuart. It's called Spirit of Prophecy, and we meet on Friday, every Friday night at 7 p.m. And we come together and we have a praise and worship. We believe in the one new man,
hallelujah,
the Jew and the Gentile, one in Yeshua, one in Messiah.
Amen.
Yeshua, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So we do that. We have communion, and we light the Sabbath candles, not religiously, but because the Lord says to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy.
That's right. We honor.
So we want to remember what God said to do, because you know it was made for man.
Right.
And people say, well, that's Jewish. Well, it says all these feasts talk about the Lord. They're feasts of the Lord. And the Sabbath was set up way before the law ever came into existence.
That's right.
Because, you know, it was set up right in the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1. God gave it to man for rest. And if we honor the Sabbath, he promises that we get blessings. And
absolutely,
ever since we've been doing that for several years now, you know, we don't do things just because it's popular to do it, or because somebody tells us to do it,
or somebody else is doing it,
or somebody else is doing it. You know, we used to have a Wednesday night service, and the Lord spoke to us. See, we're a prophetic church, Spirit of Prophecy,
yeah, that's right,
to start have Friday night come together on Friday and to honor the Sabbath. So we do that, and then we also come together on Saturday, but we're not coming together this Saturday or maybe some of the summer Saturdays. We're going to take some time off. And then we come together again Sunday morning at 10 a.m. So we're just blessed to be on this broadcast, on this radio station. And also I want to mention, too, that WCNO is on the Internet. So you can go back and listen to this teaching today, or you can listen to many other teachings we have done in the past. You just go on WCNO and go to their schedule guiding, and go to Saturday and look for Raising the Standard. That's the name of this radio broadcast, Raising the Standard. And you know, it's around the world. So you can, if you like what you're listening to, what you like what you're hearing, you like the teaching, you know, please share it with your friends, your family. It's anywhere in the world they can listen to this. And it's awesome. And WCNO has wonderful music, and it's on 24/7. So, you know, take advantage of that blessing that we have, that we're able to have right here, to be able to go around the world. Amen. So I want to give you the phone number. It's area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
That's right.
So we're going to talk about, again, the counting of the Omer and
the things that happened at Pentecost.
And, you know, we've been doing this for the last few weeks. And so, you know, but God just keeps adding because it's in other places. Today we're going to go over into 2 Chronicles. So if you'd like to go over there with us and follow along, that would be great.
Talking about the calendar, Pastor Donna.
Excuse me.
You know, if you go to a Jewish synagogue today and get one of their calendars out, well, their calendar has 354 days on it for the year. Okay. Now, our calendar, which is on the Gregorian calendar, theirs is on the lunar. We have 365.25 days in our year. Well, you wonder why? How's the Jewish people only have 354 days in their year when it should be 360 according to the Bible? Well, we know technically now when the new moon appears. They didn't know back in those days. They had to send out heralds and determine that. And so what the Jewish people have done, one month they have 29 days, the next month they have 30, 29, and 30. So if you go through the whole year, there's 6 days that they've lost. For those months, it only had 29 days. So if you add those 6 days to 354, what do you come to? 360 days. God's calendar is the same. I've had people tell me, well, Pastor Gene, that's what they did in the first covenant. No, you read Revelation over there. Revelation talks about what? The 42 months, the 1260 days. It's the number of months, and they all have 30 days in them. Same thing. So we don't want to get confused with that because we want to stay on God's calendar, and then the timing of things will be right. And as I said last week, everything that God does in His Word revolves around His appointed times. He's not going to deviate from that and do something else. He's put it in place, and He's given it to Israel, and we're going to glean from it. We'll see that the church also will have the same timetable with what God gave the Jews, but ours is going to close 7 years prior to what He's going to do with Israel. And it's real clear. So if you get the book, there's charts in the back that reveals all this, and you can see some interesting things. So when you see a number of days in the Bible that's mentioned, don't turn it into years unless God says you can do that. And that's what we have in the prophetic realm now. They turn them into years instead of days. If He gives you a certain number of days, look at it as days, unless He tells you otherwise. You know, think about when they came out of a promised land, and because they were in disobedience, you know, 10 of the 12 spies, for 40 days, God says, I'm going to give you 1 year for every day that you were in disobedience. So they had to wander around how long? For 40 years. But these other scriptures, they don't. It doesn't tell you to do that. And we have ministers that do that, like the 1290 days in Daniel 12. Those are not years, those are days, okay? And then we have 1335 days in Daniel chapter 12. Those are days, not years. We have the 2300 days over in Daniel chapter 8. That's not talking about days, it's talking about years plus days to find out about time called Hanukkah that was going to come in the future. So we have to look at all this and understand this. And so God's had this in place for hundreds of years, but just in the last 15 years especially, there's been some people beginning to really search and study this out, and we got some ministers now that are Gentiles that are beginning to realize that, and they're preaching and teaching on these things. And so they're not Jewish, they're Gentiles. But the sad thing is, a lot of the Jewish people, the Messianic Jews that come to Yeshua, they're not even teaching on these things. They look about the dietary things and all the liturgy and all that. They just need to look at what God has in His Word for them right now. The seasons of the year come every year, they come through, 12 months. All those seasons come up every year. We should rehearse and talk about it and decide what's happened. Well, some of those has already happened, right, Pastor Don? The first four, you know, Passover, first fruits, unleavened bread, and Pentecost has already happened. But now the last three in the latter part of the year, they haven't come yet. So that's what we need to investigate. And so if we look at it real close, it's revealed in the Bible. And so praise God for that.
Amen. I'm going to give you the
dates. Go right ahead.
But, you know, even the dietary laws are very important as
well.
That's
right.
We're not going to talk about that today, but it's very important because God set it up for a reason, you know.
It's good for us.
He knows what's good for us, and He knows what's not good for
us.
That's right. And the unclean animals have a spiritual significance, too, that we're to stay. God wants us to be holy and be pure. But anyways, Purim was March 24th this year. And so Pesach, or Passover, would be April 23rd and 24th, you know, because it's between the days.
Mm-hmm.
And so then Shavuot or Pentecost, that's going to be June 12th to the 13th.
Okay.
So we're not into June yet, are we?
Nope.
And people have already celebrated
Pentecost,
and they on the 15th of May.
Right.
So here we can see that, you know, praise the Lord, we need to celebrate Pentecost as the giving of the Holy Ghost. I mean, you know, we need the Holy Ghost every single day, praise God.
That's a significant thing, but there's a lot of other things involved with it as well.
Right. If we want to stay on God's calendar, and I know it's hard to be exact, but if we want to stay on God's calendar, we need to go by what God says. You know, He says...
His book.
And we need to go by the terminology that His book says.
That's it.
You know, He'll talk about the first day, second day, third day.
Right. Absolutely.
The 14th day of Nisan was the day that Yeshua died. Mm-hmm. And so we need to know these different things because the Lord tells us what happened on this. We know what happened on these different dates. Praise the Lord.
That's right. So we're going to show you something. I'd like to talk about the revealing of Pentecost is really when the glory of God came. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this the last couple of weeks that at Pentecost over in Exodus chapter 19, God was the one that spoke and roared from Mount Sinai. And the people, they had fear coming. They didn't want to hear from God anymore. They shook, it says, you know, that mountain shook and all that. Well, they began to rehearse this thing for about 1,500 years.
When did that happen?
On Sivan 6.
Pentecost.
It was the first Pentecost.
And so we can look at Acts chapter 2. That's
same
when
day.
The outpouring of the Holy Ghost.
That's when
right?
it was fulfilled, yeah.
Right? And so we can sit here. Remember we talked about back when, at Mount Sinai, where there were voices, right?
That's right.
And in fact, a voice. It was God's voice who spoke, and it was understood in many languages. And so the same thing. And at Pentecost, it was the Holy Spirit came upon the believers that were waiting. They were tarrying and waiting. They were in one accord. And we're going to talk about these people over here in Second Chronicles. They were in one accord too. They
That's
had to
right.
be, everybody, we all have to be in one accord and seeking truth. If we're seeking truth, you know, God promises He will reveal these things to us and show us. But the main thing is God's looking at our heart.
Amen.
Are we in one accord? See, those people in the upper room, they were in one accord and they were waiting. They had to wait another 10 days. Jesus had already... He spent 40 days with them after He resurrected.
And He didn't tell them how long they were going to be there, did He?
No, but they knew about Pentecost.
That's right.
They had been rehearsing it many, many years. And, you know, and people had to come from all over to
the
Jerusalem.
World. All the males.
Right, three times a year.
All
and
the
one
Jewish
of them
males.
Was during Pentecost.
That's right.
So there were a lot of people there at
Pentecost.
And then we also know that And when they were in the wilderness, you know, 3,000 people died because of because they didn't believe, because
they disobeyed God. That's right.
They disobeyed God, but at Pentecost, 3,000 people were saved.
Hallelujah!
So you know, I just think you know, God is an equal God. He balances things out.
Sure does.
And so, they were in one accord. See, they weren't in one accord when they were still in the wilderness. There was a lot of. Dissension going
That's
on
right.
there, you know, and even Aaron as what he was supposed to be doing, you know, he walked with Moses during that time when all those plagues were delivered into Egypt. You know, he was with them from the beginning.
So all the
when
miracles.
He went in to talk to Pharaoh, he was there for all the time. He had he had the rod at times, and you know, but yet he was persuaded and swayed by the people. To build that calf.
Golden calf.
That golden calf, which they bowed down and they worshipped, and they had terrible sin there.
That's right.
And, of course, we know that Moses was very upset.
Threw those tablets down, broke them into pieces.
And he had to go another
Back
40
up again.
Days.
And they believed, the Jews believed that he went up the second time on the Day of Atonement. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
And got the tablets again and came back down again. So we have some amazing things to think about with all this.
But here we are in Second Chronicles, and where we're going
to
start.
Well, I'd like to read here, Pastor Leonard. You can read it. I want to read verses 11 through 14.
Okay.
Well, and you'll see. Now, think of us. Before you read this, this is during the Feast of Tabernacles, okay? Well, it has 7 days, and we know the seventh day, the first day and the seventh day is a high Sabbath, and the eighth day is called what? Rejoicing in the Torah. And so some interesting things happened here. But we'll see how they prepared their hearts for this particular day. And it's a pattern, even though it's a different time of the year, it's a pattern to show you when the glory of God came in and filled that place. And that's what happened in Acts chapter 2. So read that, honey.
Thank
chapter 5, 11 through 14.
I'll read the first verse, and you can read the next one.
Okay.
And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place. Now, where's that? The holy place, the
it's
holy
before,
of holies.
It's before the holy of holies.
For all the priests that were present were what?
Sanctified.
Sanctified.
Set apart.
They had set themselves apart. and did not them wait by course.
And they did not then wait by course. Mm-hmm. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun, mm-hmm. with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. All right?
Here we have 120 again, and they're dressed in white.
That's right.
Which is a picture of purity.
That's right.
They had set themselves apart. They were pure. And these were only certain people, only the people of
of the priesthood.
Of the priesthood, which would be the Levites.
That's right.
Only the Levites. And they're sons. Isn't it awesome? Mm-hmm. And here they set themselves apart. They had linen garments on, white linen garments. You know, they didn't mix garments there, Pastor Gene.
That's right.
And they had these cymbals and harps and, you know, these wonderful things.
All the sound.
And where were they? At the east
gate.
East
facing
end
the east gate
of the altar.
That's
they
right.
were at the east end of the altar.
Yeah.
And it came to pass
at eve.
Even to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were as one. Now you can underline that one. There was one.
One. This was at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, okay?
Mm-hmm. To make one sound. See, they were making one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord.
Yod
Heh Vav Heh.
Yes.
So this is very important. If the church would come together and be in one accord, making one sound, to what? To praise the Lord. Amen. To praising Him and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Now, there's a psalm that says that every single time, 29 times,
I think, in that psalm. Yeah.
That's right. His mercy endureth forever.
Forever.
That then the house was filled with a cloud. What is that? That's a cloud of glory.
Yep.
Even the house of the Lord. So we could sit there and just, you know, muse upon that. The Bible talks about musing, would be meditating, thinking about it, praying in the Holy Ghost and seeing. This is what the church needs today.
That's right. This is
what the believers need today. This is what happened in the upper room. They were in one accord, praising and worshiping God. And what happened? The Holy Ghost came, and the tongues of fire came.
That's right.
And they spoke in other tongues, and they were praising. What were they doing? They were praising and worshiping God in that spiritual tongue that the Lord had given them.
But here they had the
Holy Ghost came on. It's less like fire. It was
in
on
Acts,
them.
Yeah.
In Acts. But here we have this cloud.
Cloud came in.
Cloud of glory, this mm-hmm. glory cloud. Even the house of the Lord. So that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. They fell down.
They went down on their face. They fell out, yeah.
For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God.
That's incredible. It's amazing when you think about it.
That's amazing.
God, that's right. So here's an incredible pattern of what was going to happen on the day of Pentecost. And so this is, you know, when the glory came into the temple after all those years of what they went through and disobedience and all that, and it says that the glory filled the place, and so God wanted them to walk with it at that time, walk with them from that time.
So this is a foreshadow. This is what actually happened. This actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when believers are filled with the Holy Ghost, we carry the Holy Ghost within us. Not just on one day, not just Pentecost.
That's right.
But we should live a life of Pentecost.
That's it.
So that we are always, no matter what is going on, we are always praising God and being thankful. Because, you know, even the worst things that we might go through, God can take it and He can make it for His glory. If we just keep praising Him and keep thanking Him and keep worshiping Him, and that we have a voice like a trumpet, you know, or the cymbals, or we have instruments of music and praise unto the Lord, you know, not murmuring and not complaining. What did they do they had a lot of voices in the wilderness. So yeah, a lot of voices of murmuring, complaining. Some of them were angry. Some of them would just like to have killed Moses, most likely. You know, some of them were not happy. They weren't happy with what they had to eat. But so they weren't, what were they doing? They had voices, yeah, but all, they had all kinds of voices of confusion. What does confusion bring? Confusion allows the enemy to rule and reign in your life. But when we come together, and we can see this with our life, Pastor Gene, even now, if we come together,
that's right,
even in situations that we have to go through, and we do go through things, you know, we go through good days, and sometimes we go through not so good days.
That's it, yeah.
But if we press in and we continue to praise the Lord and be thankful to the Lord, for the Lord, this is the day the Lord has made.
That's it.
Right? Whether it's raining outside or it's sunshiny outside, whether it's raining over in your mind and you got a cloud, feel like you got a cloud of thunder over your head, or you feel like you're in a rainbow and a happy day, you know, it doesn't matter. God made the day, every day. This is the day the Lord has made. And so it says, let us rejoice, what? And be glad in it. No matter what kind of day it is,
right,
if we can rejoice and be glad in it, we can have a heart of joy in the midst of whatever it might be.
That's right. Now, I thought of something else while you're reading here. I just kind of happened to look over in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 now.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Glory be to God.
Thank you,
look
Lord.
Look at verse 13 here.
Yeah, I got it all highlighted.
I'm going to read 12 and 13. He, and this is Solomon now, he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel,
mm-hmm,
and spread forth his hands towards heaven.
Just like Moses did.
Yeah. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court, and upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven and said, mm-hmm, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepest covenant and showest mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. That's the key thing, with all their hearts. So here's a perfect pattern of this, okay? It's what happened when the temple was dedicated at that particular time in Solomon's day. Amen? Glory. You know, David got in trouble.
That's sort of like a podium he made there.
Sure,
raised area so everybody could,
mm-hmm,
see him.
Yeah. So, you know, David got in trouble. He sinned and all. And so he didn't have God gave him the instructions how to build the temple. Well, then Solomon was the one that carried it out. And that's when the glory came, is when Solomon was there and the glory filled the house. So, you know, these are some wonderful parallels we have here, 2 Chronicles 5, 11 through 14. But you know, the events in 2 Chronicles 5 here took place during the Feast of Tabernacles. We know that, all right, which is in the fall. And yet we can see many, many similar aspects of the glory of God being manifested the same way at Pentecost. The first thing we must understand is that Tabernacles is the prophetic foreshadow of the kingdom of God. That's what it's all about. Therefore, when this kingdom actually comes, and we'll see it, there will truly be an outward manifestation of the glory of God, as we just read in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. The same thing is going to happen again when the temple is rededicated. We are given the preview of this event in the future. Glory. The second thing to consider is that 2 Chronicles 5, we are given a preview of this event in the very future. It's ways off yet, but think about how many years it's going to come since the time that this was all prayed by Solomon. The second thing to consider is that at Pentecost, the kingdom of God truly came to dwell in earthen vessels in Acts chapter 2. And God brought his manifestation of his glory through mankind. And this manifestation was given at the start. This manifestation, I should say, was given at the start of his glory through mankind. This manifestation was given at the start of the church as a foundational proof of God's empowering presence in the lives of his people. It had never been done before. Remember, there was no Holy Ghost in the first covenant. It hadn't been given yet. But in Acts chapter 2, all those that believed in Yeshua received the Holy Ghost. They received it. And when they did, the evidence was what? They spoke in another language that they didn't know. There was a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now in 2 Chronicles 5, we're given several conditions that parallel the day of Pentecost also. First, the priests are sanctified themselves. We read that, didn't we? They set themselves apart. Second, there were 120 priests present, just like in Acts chapter 2. Third, they were as one in unity. Fourth, they were worshiping God and waiting on his presence to come. Fifth, this is the key part. Fifth, this is the key thing. The glory came and filled the house of God. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2,
amen,
the glory of God came and filled all those people there with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Amen. So we can read in Acts chapter 1, as Donna did last week, verses 12 through 15, God reveals the same sequence of events to bring his glory, just like over here in 2 Chronicles. First, what? They set themselves apart as they were instructed. It was told to us in Luke 24:49. They were going to receive power from on high. Second, notice there were about 120 saints gathered together in Acts 1:15. Third, they were in one accord. This is the most important thing. They were in one accord with, they had no doubt or anything, with one accord, with prayer and supplication. This is in Acts 1:14. Fourth, they were worshiping God. Fifth, the glory of God came after 10 intense days in Acts, it tells us in Acts 2:1 through 4. They were all, not some, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them what? Utterance. Isn't it amazing when you think about this? It's just amazing. Here now is the major comparison between what happened at Mount Sinai on the day of Pentecost, which is on Sivan 6 on the Jewish calendar. God chose the exact day when he himself would speak from the mountain to Israel, and he did that. Then some 1,500 years later, we talked about this last week, he chose the very same day again to speak to his people. However, this time, he allowed man to speak on his behalf as he filled them with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing when you think about it? Whoosh, man, did it be. In reality, then, God made a betrothal conference, an engagement with Israel at Mount Sinai. It tells us that in Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. God also made a betrothal. He made this betrothal contract with Israel at Mount Sinai. God also made a betrothal contract with his body in 2 Corinthians 11:2. You need to go read that, honey. 2 Corinthians 11:2. We'll come back and read that. God called Israel, think about this now, he always called Israel his wife, and Israel called God their husband. Yeshua's body, Jew or Gentile, that are in Yeshua, are espoused or betrothed to Yeshua and will soon become his wife, as it says in Revelation 19, 7 and 8. I believe at the marriage supper, the feast of the Lamb, that God will introduce his wife, which is Israel, which is the First Testament saints, to Yeshua's wife, which is his church. Then Yeshua will in turn introduce his wife to God's wife, Israel. What a day that will be. Incredible. You going to read that? 2 Corinthians 11:2.
Well, it kind of takes us a different direction. 11:2, are you sure?
2 Corinthians 11:2.
Oh, Corinthians. I thought you said Chronicles.
No, about the betrothal.
No, I'm not over there. So
okay.
We'll just wait.
Right.
Go ahead.
All right, let's go. So we think about, I want to emphasize here the importance of Pentecost or the Feast of Weeks and its significance for the Church of Yeshua. It entails much more than just the gift of tongues. This was a specific day that God chose, now this is incredible, to empower, hear that? To empower the believers in his Son. Our Messiah said this, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the outermost parts of the earth. This day was the beginning of the charismatic movement. See, we should all be charismatic, shouldn't we, Pastor Don? We should all be charismatic, Pentecostal. This was said in Acts 1:8. Thus, this empowerment, the empowerment, was for the purpose of manifesting the works of God through believers so that the kingdom of God would continually grow in numbers. With this empowerment, when it comes, we've got it, and you can have it as well. If you don't, you just have to ask for it. God releases a manifestation of his Spirit with a sign. This sign is always the foundational proof of the infilling of the Holy Ghost in a believer. What is that sign? It is the gift of tongues, another language that you don't know, a heavenly language you can pray in, which you have, and what God gives you, no one else has it, it's given to you, which opens the door to the supernatural realm so that we might, hear this, might understand the deep things of God. Therefore, we can see that at Pentecost, at Mount Sinai, was a rehearsal of the Pentecost that would occur immediately after the resurrection of Yeshua. Therefore, what happened at Mount Sinai in the first Pentecost is exactly what also happened during the first Pentecost.
Amen.
Following Yeshua's resurrection. Amen.
Well, Paul said over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, he said, Paul said, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy."
That's right.
"For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ."
Amen. It's like the engagement, the espousal. Mm-hmm. Amen.
But then he warns him. He says, "But I fear lest any means as the serpent beguiled Eve. See, the enemy's always out there. He wants to come and bring destruction. Well, I want to go back over here to 2 Chronicles, because in chapter 7, you know, Solomon had, he prayed. There was a lot of praying going on.
That's all prayed here.
Praying and worshiping, and he was praying in this. And you know, God listens to us when we're obedient. But if we do something that's not of God, then, you know, we're going to, the heavens can be closed. And, of course, it mentions over here, it says in verse 12, it says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer." So he was praying. And this is the one place where we have this the prayer that we pray all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "I have heard thy prayers and have chosen this place."
The temple area.
Right,
yeah.
"To myself for a house of sacrifice. And then God says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people." Now, why would God do that?
Because they're disobedient.
They're obeying. And so why are things happening in this country and in other countries? You know, he says, you know, the nations are going to be punished because of their sin. And even in Israel, Israel was punished because of their sin. Israel can still be punished because of their sin.
That's right.
You know, there's things that Israel hasn't turned holy to the Lord.
Nope.
And they haven't repented from many of the things that they do.
That's right.
And they do a lot of things that the modern people in the United States do and other countries do.
That's it.
I mean, there is sin in Israel, and that needs to be, you know, whoever's in charge of that over there right now, they should deal with these things and come back to the Lord. But the verse 14, this is what we pray all the time. If.
My people, huh?
But you see right there, if.
My people, huh?
God says if.
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 It's an if.
If. Are we his people?
Yeah.
We're his people. Of course, he was talking to the Jewish people here.
But we're part of that
now. We're grafted in, right? We believe in, we talked about the one new man, Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah. But he says, if my people, so we're his people as well, which are called by my name. Don't we call on the name of the Lord?
Amen.
Jesus is Lord, isn't he?
Yeah.
Shall humble themselves. First thing is to humble yourself.
That's it.
See, they fell on their faces. The glory of the Lord filled the house. The fire of God was in that house. If they humble themselves, and if they pray, there's conditions here. God has conditions. And seek my face.
So we're not
to seek anybody else's face or God's hand. You're right. Seek his face, and we have to, people don't want to do this one, turn
Teshuva.
From their wicked ways.
Right.
There's a lot of wicked ways in the church today. There's a lot of paganism in the church today. He's talking about people who believe. Are they going to turn from their wicked ways? Many don't, do they? Then will I, then, you could underline that, then will I hear from heaven. Then he's going to hear in heaven. See, he's in heaven. Then he's going to hear us. And will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
That's right.
But to have our land, for him to hear and for our land to be healed, there's conditions that have to be met. Now mine eyes shall be open, he's going to see, and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. Well, you always are praying to God in some place, aren't you, if you're talking to God? It could be in church, it could be in your home, it could be anywhere on the road. Pray, you're praying. So he will hear our prayers if we are obedient and if we pray to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another place where it also talks about the fire. I think it might be in this chapter or the next one over. We're talking about the fire that fell. The fire that came down. Now see, where is it at? I'm not really sure where it's at. I remember it's in this in here somewhere about where the fire.
Well, just tell them about it.
Yeah, amen. So the fire. Well, you go ahead, and if I can find it, I'll find it.
Well, while she's talking, I was just thinking about some of these spiritual applications we're having with all this about Pentecost. There's so much in it that we might want to consider, you know, because, you know, Pentecost culminates at the end of counting the Omer, at the end of the 50 days, okay? Pentecost is called the conclusion to Passover. It's all part of that season. Spiritually speaking, the believers in the Messiah are on a journey out of Egypt, a type of what? The world system and its evil ways. I hope we are. We don't make bricks for Pharaoh anymore. We're out of that place. And you know, when they came out, Israel came out, they came out of Egypt, but they still had Egypt in their heart. They had to get changed. Mm-hmm. And so And they come out of the wilderness, which is a picture of life, awaiting our time to meet God face to face on Mount Sinai. That's what the purpose was for them to go there.
Mm-hmm.
There at Mount Sinai, which is spiritually we're talking about, God will forever reveal himself to us in a new and greater way. For all believers in the Messiah, Jew or Gentile, the Torah that was given at Mount Sinai represents, I believe, the Word of God, the entire Bible. The believers in Yeshua spiritually experiences Pentecost when the Holy Ghost of God reveals the Word of God to him or her in a deeper and more powerful way, and his understanding and desire for the Bible increases accordingly. You're going to get hungry for God.
Amen.
That's what it was for. Hungry for. Too hungry to be denied.
To be denied.
Desperate. Hallelujah. Did you find it?
Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord.
So
Jesus.
We have so much we could talk about with this. It's
so
just
much. So
what
much.
God has shown us. And
so much.
Everything's
so good.
A pattern that God had. And even the exact days and all. You know, when we read in Acts chapter 2 about the day of Pentecost being fulfilled, it was on Sivan 6 again, okay? Now,
mm-hmm.
They didn't have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all that on there, but it would have been on the eighth day, if there was an eighth day, it was on the first day of a new week. That's when that's when the Spirit came. And it was on the day of Pentecost. And so, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
And so, they were all filled. It was amazing when you think about what happened. The
Thank
people
you,
said
Lord.
They were amazed. Some were in shock. Some
mm-hmm.
of them didn't understand. Some of them mocked. Some of them made fun of it. And we have that even today. People mock and say it's not for today. That God's not doing that anymore. Show me in the chapter and verse where he says he's not doing that anymore in the New Testament, and we'll look at it. But I can't find anything. And don't take me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because that's not what that's saying over there if you read it real close. You got to have proper interpretation. You got to read the whole chapter. Look at the text first, and then you'll see the context that you want. And if you don't, you're going to come up with some kind of a pretext, which they have. You know, they say, well, tongues has been done away with and all that. But knowledge there. Knowledge is still there.
Right.
He said, that's going to be done away with. When's it going to be done away with? When the perfect has come. The perfect is not the canon of Scripture I have in front of me. The perfect, there's only one. I don't want to call it a thing. There's
Yeshua.
Only one person that's perfect. That's Yeshua. When he comes, we won't need all that.
He's
that's right.
God.
That's right. And
He's
so we can
God.
Read that over in 1 Corinthians 13. And those are the verses that they use all the time. So it's a perversion of what God says, okay? And we know that God wants us to have this wonderful gift and all that. So it's not going to come to conclusion until we get to glory.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe in the kingdom. We might still be speaking in tongues in the kingdom. I don't know what we'll be doing.
I don't know.
We don't know. But we might be. We might not be.
Probably
but we
won't,
know.
Won't need
we
to.
We probably won't need to then because we'll be in the kingdom of God.
And we'll know.
That's
we'll,
right.
We'll know.
That's what it says at the end of that chapter. And it says that we'll be known. We'll know
yes,
as God
know.
Knows us right now. That's how much we're going to know. We're going to have so much more revealed to us at that particular time. So we don't want to get too puffed up with all this and the dogmatic understanding and questioning people and rebuking people because they've got a heavenly language. The Lord says, yes, even this day I'm pouring out my Spirit on many, many saints around the world, not only in America, but around the world. And all of a sudden, something has happened to their heart they've never known before, like on the actual day of Pentecost that happened in Acts chapter 2. They were pricked in their hearts, something new that came out that they'd never heard before. And that's why my Saint Peter stood up, preached that message that day on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 Jews came into the kingdom of God as he spoke to them and told them they must repent, be water baptized, have their sins removed, and they could receive the gift. The gift of the Holy Ghost. And that's not talking about salvation. The gift of the Holy Ghost to bring them into the entrance to the supernatural. Those men left that place and they went out and they turned the world upside down in 30 years because of the power of God that resided in them. They didn't have that before. The First Testament people didn't have that power in them. Only kings and priests and prophets came upon them from time to time. But in our day, now, from that time in Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, we have the power of God residing in us all the time. We can walk in the fullness of the anointing of God. It's the empowerment that he gave us. That's why it was so important what Jesus told his disciples there in Acts chapter 1. They were going to be endued with power. And so they were. And look what it did. It changed the whole world at that particular time. If that would not have come, the church would not be where it was at within about 5 or 6 years after that, or even 10 years. But God did it. And within 30 years, I said, so much was done as it moved through the whole part of the world in Turkey and Thessalonica and with the Corinthians.
That's right.
It went through all those cities, all up and down on the Mediterranean there, including Israel as well. So many people came to Christ and were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Massa, Mombre, the
Thank
power
you,
came.
Power.
They were never the same. They were changed for life.
Release
Don and
power.
I are sitting here with you today. We got born again. I was excited about it. But 3 months later, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I didn't understand all of it, but I received it. And I only had a few words to start with, but as I prayed to God, I got more and more and more and more. Now multiple tongues come out. Now many times, I don't know what I'm saying, but God does. When you pray in your heavenly language, you're praying the perfect word that God wants you to say at that particular time. It's not coming out of your mind. It's coming out of your spirit, man. Hosa, mom, baby.
Thank you, Lord.
And that's what God wants. So we need to have that. We want to pray for somebody. Before we pray, we can just lay hands on it, even quietly, and pray in your heavenly language and say, Lord,
Thank you, Lord,
what do you have for this person? What do you want me to say to them? And then listen as you pray in the spirit. You know what?
Thank you, Lord.
He might just give you two or three words. Speak those words that you hear,
that's
and
right.
Those people will never be the same again. I'm telling
that's
you.
Right.
We've had it happen over and over and over again.
Thank you, Lord. Well, you know, Pastor Gene, you just spoke in tongues and you also prophesied.
Right.
So you did both just a few minutes ago. So I'm going over here to chapter 14 in 1 Corinthians.
Okay.
Okay, and it says here that we're supposed to desire spiritual gifts,
Whoa.
But rather that you may prophesy.
That's right?
Prophecy is for the, it's prophecy. Well, I'm going to go ahead and read it.
Go ahead.
Because, you know, we're supposed to speak, we're supposed to have that gift
That's
that was
it.
Given was given on the day of Pentecost, and it was given to every one of those
for
people
everybody.
In that upper room. It wasn't just given to the disciples or to half of the people or a few of the people. Every single one of them, even Mary.
Everybody.
Even the women, anybody that was in that upper room received that gift of the
Thank
Holy
you,
Ghost
Lord.
And spoke in tongues. It says here, for, and Paul's saying this, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. So when they first received that baptism of the Holy Ghost, they were speaking the beautiful, the wonderful works of God. They were speaking unto God.
That
and
time,
you know, that glorifies God,
right.
Okay? And because that was when they initially received it. It was before they were out in the streets preaching, that before the 3,000 people came to the Lord. They received this gift. So you have to receive a gift before you can give anything out.
That's right.
You can't give something out you haven't received first. So they received this. So they had this unknown tongue. You know, Paul also said that he speaks in tongues more than he will. So,
there's a difference
he's
between
an example.
There's a difference between the unknown tongue then and also what? The tongue in Acts chapter 2, which were
right.
ethnic languages. Go ahead.
But this unknown tongue, for no man understandeth him,
That's
howbeit
right.
in the spirit,
yes.
he speaks mysteries.
Whoa.
So you can speak in tongues, mysteries, and many times you will get the understanding or you'll get the revelation. And it goes
Amen.
On to tell us that. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men, what?
Ooh.
To edification
wow.
and exhortation and comfort.
Whoa.
How? Because the King James Bible says the Holy Ghost is the comforter.
That's right.
So the Holy Ghost speaks comfort. Whoa, that's from the Holy Ghost right now. Speaks comfort to those who are listening.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Right.
And so you the tongues come and then the revelation comes or the you
understanding.
Know the understanding.
Yeah.
Verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. You're building up your most holy faith. You build up yourself. You stir up the gift that's within you. Put your hand on your belly if you're listening and just ask the Lord to give it to you. You just stir up that gift that's within you. It's in your belly. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies what? Edifies the church. And Paul said, I would that ye all spake with tongues. We can all speak. He wishes that we all need
right.
to be able to stir ourselves. We all need to be able to stir up that the Holy Ghost within us and stir up the faith that's within us. See,
sure.
It's the Holy Ghost that brings these gifts. It says desire spiritual gifts. Those spiritual gifts come from the Holy Ghost. So he says, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. See, that's a step up. That's another step. You speak in tongues, and then God, many times when I speak in tongues or I sing in the Spirit, then the Lord will give me the interpretation. You know, you don't have to speak a whole lot of words.
And then you prophesy.
And you prophesy.
That's right.
For greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongues. So prophecy is greater. And that's one of the gifts that we're to covet.
So everybody
is
can
to
understand
prophesy.
It. That's the purpose, yeah.
Except he interprets. So
mm-hmm.
you there's tongues of interpretation.
Amen.
Now we're going to a different realm. That the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation? So the Holy Ghost brings the speaking in tongues brings revelation. See, he spoke in tongues, didn't
right.
he? And that's why he got much revelation. That's why he got much.
He wrote two-thirds of the New Testament.
Much knowledge. That's right. He wrote this. And then he goes on, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine. All these different ways bring you into a stronger walk with the Lord. And it helps us to overcome these things.
That's right. All fear has to go, too. Yeah.
That's right. And I like what it says down here in verse 14, because I know we're running close on time here.
Well, we got about 8 minutes.
It says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. So when you pray, when we pray in the Holy Ghost, our spirit is praying. Maybe we don't have the understanding. We don't know. See, I may not say I'm supposed to pray for somebody. Say my sister. I'm supposed to pray for my sister. And so I don't know exactly what her needs are. God hasn't told me. So if I pray in the Holy Ghost, I'm praying the perfect prayer.
Amen.
I call out her name. I pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm praying the perfect prayer because God knows exactly what she needs. And he knows who I'm talking about, right? So maybe he will give me a word about something she needs or something. Maybe he won't. Maybe I don't need to know. I just need to pray for her. My spirit prays. So our spirit prays without us speaking in English or another, or say Japanese or whatever it might be. But my understanding is unfruitful. I don't really know what I was praying. But God knows, because
right.
God knows all things. God hears, God understands every single spiritual prayer. He says, what is it then? Then he says, now we have wills. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 wills. I will
Your
pray
will's involved,
with
it,
the
isn't
Spirit.
It?
I have to will to do
That's
that.
That's right.
Excuse me. I have to make a decision. I will pray with the understanding. It's both. I will, and now also, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also.
It's good.
It's awesome.
That's right. What a gift that we've all been given if we just receive it.
It's a gift of the Holy Ghost.
That's it. It's what it is.
It's a gift of the Holy Ghost, and God gave it to us. Jesus said he had to go back to the Father because the Father and him would send the Holy Ghost. And they
That's
were
right.
told to go in Jerusalem, nowhere else, go in Jerusalem and tarry and wait. And they were all to meet all together in one place, in one accord.
Hallelujah.
And so God kept his promise, didn't he?
That's
he
right.
He poured out his spirit upon them. And he says over here in Acts chapter 2, this is going to happen in the last days. And you know, there's a revival going on. There's lots of young people coming to the Lord. They've tried everything.
All kinds of gimmicks and everything, too,
drugs,
to get them in there.
All kinds of things.
That's right.
And so they're coming now. There's many people. There's lots of revivals going on with young people. Schools. A school in Mississippi is putting prayer back in the school.
Hallelujah.
Wow. That can happen here in Florida. So we need to pray. We need to pray. And so what's going to happen? See, the walls of the school, the control over the school board, can't be controlled by our president or anybody else. God's in control. And so these kids, these young people, they all come to love Jesus, and they have the power of the Holy Spirit come upon them. You think that those walls aren't going to come down?
That's right.
They're going to come down. They're going to come down from the inside out. We can't knock them down from the outside in. Those children are going to break forth because they're going to break forth with boldness, and they're going to pray for each other. They're going to pray in that school, and you know, no law is going to stop them.
Mm-hmm.
No man-made law is going to stop them. And because it says over here in Acts chapter 2 that he's going to pour out his spirit.
That's right.
And it shall come to pass. It's going to come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 17. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy.
Hallelujah. Listen to this now. This is in Acts chapter 19. Paul was involved here. Verse 1 says, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. What? The water baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, now listen to this, they were baptized, means they were baptized again in the water.
In the name of
in
Jesus.
In the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, verse 6 is the key one. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them,
yay,
the Holy Ghost, came on them, and they spake with tongues, and listen to this, and prophesied.
That's right.
Right after they got the baptism, they began to prophesy.
You don't have to be taught how to prophesy.
No, you don't. The Spirit
it's
of God
gift.
Moves. That's
it's
right.
It's a gift.
He moves
and
on
when
us.
You, when you are amongst the prophets and you're among the, those who prophesy, you will prophesy.
You catch the anointing.
Says, the Bible says that everyone can prophesy.
One by one.
All people, everyone that comes to the Lord, that knows Jesus, that comes to the Lord, can prophesy. And we don't have time to show you what, exactly where that's at right now in the Bible, but it's there. But we can. He wants us all to prophesy, that we should all covet to prophesy. Well, this is Pastor...
It's in 1 Corinthians 14 also.
14
also. You can all prophesy one by one.
Right. So this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, and we do teach that class on that. We exercise our gifts. We got, you know, we have to exercise our gifts, because you could be, you could prophesy to somebody out there in the store, a gas station, wherever you might be.
Know.
Get
yep.
them a hamburger at McDonald's, wherever. Yep. You can prophesy. God can give you a word for somebody, and you can speak a word. The Bible says if you open your mouth, God's going to fill it. All you have to do is trust and believe. Amen?
Many people's been changed by one word like that. Their life's been changed.
I was changed by one word.
That's right.
Well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton again, and we're blessed to be on this radio broadcast. We want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey and all of you out there, and we thank you for your prayers. And we
your
thank
friend
you
Harley.
For offering, if you'd like to send an offering, we certainly could use it to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And just give us a call, and we'll give you the address. If you want this book, just give us a call. Our phone number here in Stuart is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And we have services here Friday night at 7 p.m. and Sunday morning at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a special guest in a couple of weeks. We'll tell you more about it next week. It has to do with Jew and Gentile coming together.
That's right.
And we're going to have special guests at, with Spirit of Prophecy Ministry. So we will let you know about that. And that's going to be, I believe, on the 5th of June.
Right, on Sunday morning.
June,
yeah.
About right. the Jew and the Gentile. We're going to have a Jewish man come and also a Gentile come.
Hallelujah.
And it's about the one new man.
The Jewish man, I believe, is from Israel, too, isn't he?
One new man.
That's right. One new man. Jew and Gentile in the body of Christ. So we're on this program because we want to see people to grow up, mature, get over all the things we've been taught for so many years that necessarily may not be true. It might be, but it may not be. You examine it. Be a Berean to see if these things
Amen.
Be so. And you can walk into the fullness of the Spirit of God and to accomplish even more for God than you ever thought you
Amen.
Could.
Amen.
So we love you. We honor you. We cherish you for your being on the program. Some of you listen week after week after week, and we've never heard from you. So give us a call and tell us that you've been listening. That'll encourage us. And like Donna said, if you'd like to send an offering, you can make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, mail to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And our zip is 34995. So as we close the program, we tell you to look up, because your redemption truly draweth nigh. What do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of Prophecy.
Standard.